Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, senior producer for Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, the latest headlines.
Fierce Hurricane Ian is getting stronger fast. It's off Florida's southwest coast this morning with 155 mile per hour winds. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said just a few moments ago,
"It is now a Category 4 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of up to 155 miles per hour. That is knocking on the door of a Category 5 storm."
The National Hurricane Center's Eric Blake.
"We expect this to cause extremely dangerous, life-threatening storm surge later today in southwestern Florida."
Damaging winds and rain are battering the Gulf Coast. Forecasters say the Naples to Sarasota region is at highest risk of a devastating storm surge. Renee Correa lives in Tampa, but she got out ahead of the storm.
"The water just really scared me, and as well as the path. It was very confusing, and I didn't want to risk it, so I went with my chihuahua and my daughters, and we left town, and, you know, just praying for everybody at home, but, yeah, it's a scary storm."
This is the same hurricane that slammed into Cuba, knocking out the power to the whole island. The AP's Donna Warder.
"Cuba is without electricity after Hurricane Ian knocked out its power grid. Cuba's electric union says authorities are working to gradually restore power to Cuba's 11 million people. Power initially was knocked out to about 1 million people in Cuba's western provinces, but later the entire grid collapsed. I'm Donna Warder."
The European Union's outraged over the suspected sabotage of two underwater natural gas pipelines from Russia to Germany. The EU warning of retaliation for any attack on Europe's energy networks. Today, President Biden is hosting a conference on hunger, nutrition, and health, the first by the White House since 1969. This is AP News.
Curious about the weather? The Lee Weather Team hosts Across the Sky, a fast-paced weekly podcast that tackles hot topics and cold, plus what's trending in meteorology, science, and climate. Join Matt Holliner, Kirsten Lang, Joe Martucci, and Sean Sublett each week on Across the Sky through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to North Korea. The AP's Charles de Ledesma has this.
"North Korea has test-launched a missile on the eve of Vice President Kamala Harris's trip to Seoul, South Korea. The South's Joint Chiefs of Staff says it detected the North's missile launch, but has given no further details, such as when and where the weapon was fired and how far it traveled. The launch is the second by Pyongyang this week. The nation's dialed up its testing activities to a record pace in 2022, testing more than 30 ballistic weapons, including its first intercontinental ballistic missiles since 2017. Kamala Harris is arriving in South Korea on Thursday for talks with President Yoon Suk-yeol and other officials. I'm Charles de Ledesma."
Gas is $3.76 a gallon this morning. The price is going up. A week ago, it was 8 cents cheaper, says the AAA. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The United Nations Security Council holds an emergency meeting following Russia's announcement of the results of its referenda held in parts of Ukraine under its control. In a video address to members of the UN Security Council, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky called for global sanctions on Russia for sham referendums and attempts to annex parts of his country. After the meeting, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield announced a joint resolution with Albania condemning the votes and demanding Russia withdraw its troops from Ukraine. She also warned Vladimir Putin's government.
"Let me be clear. If Russia uses its veto to shield itself from accountability, we will then look to the UN General Assembly to send an unmistakable message to Moscow."
The resolution could be before the Security Council later this week or early next. I'm Tim McGuire.
A man has been sentenced to 7 years in prison for his role in the Capitol riot. Judge Amy Berman Jackson called Kyle Young a one-man wrecking ball. Young admitted helping in the assault of a police officer during the riot and cried in court as he apologized to former D.C. Metropolitan Police Officer Michael Fanone and said he wished he could have taken back what he did. Fanone told the court of the near-death experience he endured at the hands of the rioters, beaten and repeatedly shocked with a stun gun. Fanone had testified before the House committee investigating the riot.
I was at risk of being stripped of and killed with my own firearm as I heard chants of kill him with his own gun.
Young admitted handing a stun gun to another rioter who used it on Fanon and of grabbing the officer's hand. Fanon says he hopes Young suffers during his time in prison. Ed Donahue, Washington.
AP Sports, I'm John Leatherby. Aaron Judge remains at 60 home runs, but the Yankees were able to clinch their 20th divisional title, defeating the Blue Jays by a final of 5-2 in Toronto. New York seals a first-round bye and home field to start the ALDS. In Cleveland, Harold Ramirez's second RBI double of the night lifted the Rays past the Guardians 6-5 in 11 innings.
Ramirez's second RBI double of the night helped Tampa Bay snap a two-game skid and pull the Rays to within a game and a half of the wild-card leading Blue Jays. The Rays used eight relief pitchers while the Guardians trotted out five. Jose Ramirez went 3-for-6 with two RBIs for the AL Central champion Guardians, who saw their seven-game winning streak come to an end.
There's correspondent Denny Kapp. The Mariners needed a win to keep pace with the Rays as they battle for the second wild card, Seattle hosting Texas, but the Rangers got the better, 5-0 the final. The other American League winners included the Red Sox, Tigers, Angels, and Twins. Houston beat Arizona 10-2 in interleague action. In the National, the Mets fell at home to the Marlins by a final of 6-4.
Miami scored two runs in each of the first, third, and fifth innings to drop the Mets into a tie with the Braves atop the division. J.J. Bleday's two-run homer of Carlos Carrasco put the Marlins up 4-0 in the third, but Pete Alonso cut it to 4-3 with a three-run homer for New York, his 40th of the season. Jacob Stallings restored the three-run Miami lead with a two-run single in the fifth.
There's correspondent Tom Merriam. New York now has company atop the National League East standings.
Ronald Acuna Jr. homered twice to lead the Braves to an 8-2 win over the Nationals, moving Atlanta into a first-place tie with the Mets in the NL East. Acuna went back-to-back with Orlando Arcia in the fifth inning off starter and loser Paulo Espino.
There's Craig Heist in Washington. The Cardinals captured the National League Central with a 6-2 win over Milwaukee. The Cubs, the Pirates, and the Giants, and the Padres were the other winners. I'm John Leatherby, AP Sports.
You're listening to Hot Off the Wire. We'll return after a short break.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. President Biden's attention is on Hurricane Ian.
My administration is on alert and in action to help the people of Florida.
Forecasters say Ian is powerful and is getting stronger over the warm water in the Gulf of Mexico. John Cangelosi at the National Hurricane Center says Ian is expected to slow down and could linger over parts of Florida.
Some of these peaks here are 15 to 20 inches of rain in spots. So even though Florida can take a lot of rain, this is a zone when you get 15 to 20 inches of rain potentially in just a day or two, it's really hard for the grounds to sort of catch up here.
Kelly Johnson is riding this out in Dunedin, Florida.
I'm a Floridian, and we know how to deal with hurricanes.
Okay.
This is what we do. This is part of living in paradise.
FEMA's Deanne Criswell says,
get ready and do not underestimate the potential that this storm can bring. Know where you are going to get your information. Listen to your local officials and heed their advice. They are trying to keep you safe.
Hurricane Ian tore into western Cuba as a major hurricane earlier today and left 1 million people without electricity. The Danish prime minister says her government views the gas leaks off the Danish island in the Baltic Sea as deliberate actions. Asked whether it was an attack on Denmark, she replied the leaks happened in international waters and the answer is thus no. Explosions rattled the Baltic Sea before the unusual leaks were discovered on two natural gas pipelines running underwater from Russia to Germany. Officials say about 98,000 Russians have crossed into Kazakhstan in the week since President Vladimir Putin announced a partial mobilization of reservists to fight in Ukraine. Kazakhstan and Georgia, both once part of the Soviet Union, appeared to be the most popular destinations for those traveling by land. Stocks are lower at the closing bell. This is AP News. Some public school students in Virginia are protesting the governor's transgender policies.
Student activists led walkouts across Virginia to protest Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's proposed changes to the state's guidance on district policies for transgender students. Among other things, the policy changes, if adopted by school districts, would require parental sign-off on the use of any name or pronoun other than what's on a student's official record. Participation in certain school programming and use of facilities would be based on a student's biological sex. The Opponents say Youngkin's proposals are potentially harmful. Defenders say the changes give greater respect to the role of parents in their children's lives. I'm Norman Hall.
A New Orleans social services nonprofit, long called the Kingsley House, renamed itself, dropping the name of a Victorian clergyman, perhaps best remembered as the author of a children's fantasy novel, but it held profoundly racist views. Now the nonprofit will be called Clover. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
U.S. consumers are signaling growing confidence in the economy. A day after a sell-off on Wall Street put major indexes into a bear market, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Report for September suggests rising confidence for the second month in a row, driven by falling gas prices and a strong labor market. The index rose to 108 from 103.6 in August. The back-to-back increases follow 3 months of declines as Americans felt the pinch of rising prices this summer, but while inflation is still concerning, AAA reports the average price for a gallon of gas in the U.S. has fallen to $3.75. Lynn Franco, Senior Director of Economic Indicators at the Conference Board, says the improvement may bode well for consumer spending in the final months of 2022, but inflation and interest rate hikes remain strong headwinds to growth in the short term. I'm Jennifer King.
The Biden administration is laying out its strategy for meeting an ambitious goal, ending hunger in the U.S. by 2030. The plan includes boosting monthly benefits that help low-income Americans buy food and highlights the need for access to healthier food and exercise. This week, President Biden will host the White House's first Hunger, Nutrition, and Health Conference in more than 50 years. The last one, under President Nixon, aimed to end American hunger for all time and led to a greatly expanded food stamps program and help for babies. But cuts to federal programs and other changes have led to declines in access to food. The FDA says about 10% of American households suffered food insecurity last year. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The drug company Biogen has agreed to pay $900 million after being accused of paying kickbacks to doctors. Federal prosecutors say that under the terms of the settlement, Biogen will pay more than $843 million to the federal government and more than $56 million to 15 states for overbilling Medicare and Medicaid insurance programs. Biogen says in a statement that it has settled the lawsuit so that it can focus on its patients and strategic priorities. It says the settlement is not an admission of liability. The lawsuit alleged that from January 2009 to March 2014, Biogen paid doctors speaking fees, consulting fees, and bought them meals that were actually kickbacks to get them to prescribe 3 multiple sclerosis drugs. I'm Donna Warder.
One of the most serious cases to emerge from the Capitol riot is now in a Washington courtroom. Not far from the Capitol itself, it's the biggest test yet for the Justice Department's massive January 6 prosecutions. Jury selection has started in the trial of Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes and 4 associates, whom authorities accuse of a weeks-long plot to violently stop the presidential power transfer. They're charged with seditious conspiracy, a rare Civil War-era offense that can be hard to prove. The last guilty trial verdict was nearly 30 years ago. 3 Oath Keepers have pleaded guilty to the charge and are likely to testify against Rhodes. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Buckingham Palace displayed the new royal cipher following the ascension of King Charles III. Royal librarian Stella Paniatova says the cipher is an image that represents the king and will appear on government buildings, state documents, and post office boxes across the UK.
It really consists of the initial of their name combined with the R for Rex or Regina, king or king, queen. And then you will have the regnal number included within the cipher, and it is usually surmounted by a crown.
Garter Principal King of Arms David White says during Queen Elizabeth's reign, the cipher was represented by the letters ER, meaning Elizabeth Regina.
It reminds everybody that we've got a new sovereign. It symbolizes very simply who that sovereign is, what his regnal number is, reminds us that he's king and that the crown is above it.
The cipher was picked by the king himself. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening.
Audio provided by the Associated Press. Music is by SkillCell and provided through Pixabay. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.